I think, first of all, we should stand, and I'd like to add my prayer, our prayer to Dixie, is your wife's name, I believe. Let's just stand and approach the Lord on her behalf and add our prayers to the prayers of the elders that have already gone forth. Father, we thank you that you're a miracle-working God. We believe in you. We know that you've healed. Many of us have experienced your healing touch. And today we come and we ask on behalf of Dixie. Lord, we lift her before you specifically. We ask you for a miracle. We ask for a healing, Father, of that tumor. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would touch her. Lord, we agree together and we pray that that tumor would be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. We bring her before you and lay her before you just like the gentleman in Scripture who tore back the roofing and they laid that man before you. And you admired their faith and he was healed. And so we come in simple faith before you. We join our hearts together. We look to you. We know you. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus that she would be raised up, Father, by your hand. Bless those surgeons as well. We thank you for gifted surgeons. And we pray that you would be glorified in the outcome. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I guess that what I'd like to do, first of all, is to thank the worship team. Because they have a vital and an important job in any... thank you for your ministry this morning. I felt very comfortable in worshiping the Lord. And thank you for leading us in worship. It's up to us whether we follow or not, of course. But it's a very vital ministry, and I thank you for it. It certainly equals the preaching of the preaching of the Word of God. Because when you think about the responsibility of leading a group of people into the throne room of God to worship before His throne, is an awesome responsibility. And I hope it's one that none of us take lightly, and I don't believe that you do. And you prepare your hearts before the Lord, and before you ever prepare the music, you prepare your heart to worship, because worship is all about heart expression, right? I'm starting to preach already, and I haven't even got to the preaching. Anyway, it's good to be home. And I say that because for us, being in full-time ministry, home is anywhere the Lord leads us. And so you will not hear me refer a lot, I don't think, to back home. Nice to see Cordell and Wilma from back home. nice to see you, but home is where the Lord placed us, and we know for sure that the Lord has placed us here, and we're looking forward to ministry in this community. We're looking forward to getting to know our new church family and to doing what God has called us to do. I appreciate Keenan and his doing the announcements and so on this morning. Might need you to do a little more as we kind of like to ease into this, and it'll take a while, so please be patient with us. We may have our bags unpacked, but mentally we are far from unpacked. And so it takes a while. It's going to be at least 1 year of firsts, you know, first Christmas, first Valentine's, and it's for us, it's kind of a learning experience. I know it will be somewhat for you as well, but you're used to, and what you take for granted, please don't assume that we know. Okay, especially when people are sick. I say that from experience. Don't assume that if someone is sick and in the hospital that the pastor knows. He may not know. Please let us know. And so we look forward to our ministry here in Chauvin and what God will do and what God has called us to do in shepherding and leading. Just let you know a little bit, my wife and I are very much what they call people persons. We enjoy fellowship and visitation very much. And so having said that, please remember we're the new kids on the block. There's a lot for us to learn, and it would help us tremendously. I got a few notes jotted down here, of course. It would help us tremendously if you would invite us to come visit. That way we can get to know you personally, and every pastor should know his flock. We can get to know you individually. We can understand your family dynamics and pray with you, and we don't bite. And, you know, don't be nervous. Some people are really nervous of inviting the pastor to come visit. You would help us tremendously if we don't have to figure this thing out, but you can, you know, just give us an invitation at your convenience, even if it's just for a coffee, a short period of time. Really would like to make contact with you and develop a relationship, because pastoring is very much relational. It is extremely relational, and so it should be. And so we appreciate you doing that. Also, please feel free to call us at any time for any reason. I was a little hesitant to put down any reason, but I put it in there anyway. But we are here to serve you, so remember that. The Lord has brought us together, and we look forward to what the Lord will do, as I already said. Okay, we're going to turn in God's Word, and I want to draw your attention. I got a little notebook for preaching. You like that? A little notebook, and it's not used very much, actually, so I figure they'll really like me if they see that I don't have a lot of notes. Somebody told me that I had a friend of mine, that the fellow pastor that came back from Africa. He spent a short-term missions trip there. And he came back and he said to me, you know, in Africa, if you can't preach at least an hour, then you're not worth your salt as a preacher. I don't say that to scare you. I'm not looking to preach at least an hour. Or at least, I don't go by time. I go by Spirit leading. And so if the Holy Spirit leads and God is ministering and you see the people of God are being fed, we may go 45 minutes. We may possibly even go an hour. Who knows? I doubt it. But, you know, just I'm just saying. I'm not conscious of time, and I trust that you're not conscious of time to the degree that you're looking at your watch. I have a brother who's pastoring in Newfoundland, and he said, you know, if you remember when those little watches used to give a little beep, 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 like that? You remember when that would go off in service? He said, if I hear that once more, I'm preaching another 10 minutes. So don't worry about it. I'm not a long-winded preacher, so you can take it easy. But sometimes the Holy Spirit is upon a sermon and it is intended to be a little bit lengthy, and sometimes it's not. So we want to be free in the Holy Spirit. Amen? The important thing is that we get to know one another, and together in His presence we flow and enjoy His... Listen, I'm used to the gifts of the Spirit being in operation. I'm used to loudness. If you're a shouter, you're not going to frighten me by shouting. If you're not a shouter, you're just a quiet worshiper, then you just be yourself. We're in Father's house, and nobody's looking to make everybody, you know, exactly the same. We're not all. God didn't make cookie-cutter worshipers. We're all different. We're all wired differently. So be yourself. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to make myself at home. Is that okay with you? When we make ourselves comfortable and at home, then the Holy Spirit can minister to us and minister through us, as I'm sure He will this morning. So the verse, you'll like this too, because I'm only preaching on half a verse. How do you like that? Good start. The verse that I want to draw your attention to is 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse number 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse number 5, actually 5b. Now, we could take the time to read that whole chapter, and it is a fantastic chapter, and I'll refer to it. But I just want to reference and preach on just one part, and it is a powerful truth. I'm reading from the King James Version, so it's a little bit different than this, but that's okay. And this is it's a powerful truth that applies to every one of us. And if I believe that if we get a hold of this in the way that God wants us to get a hold of it, or rather, it gets a hold of us and gets down into our spirit to such a degree, then God will radically change our lives and our families and our church and our community and everything. I've made this verse the foundation of my ministry. And what I want to preach on this morning is the second part of that verse, and it goes like this. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as she sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. A magnificent truth. a magnificent reality, one that I have proven to be true, and I believe you have proven to be true as well. It applies to every one of us, regardless of our age, regardless of what stage of life we may be in, regardless of what we may be going through at this particular time. This is an eternal truth. It is applicable to the young as well as it is to the old. This story in 2 Chronicles 26 is about a young man. He was King Uzziah. The Bible puts it this way in verse number 3, I believe it is. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 52 years, as long as he sought the Lord, for 52 years. The blessing and the favor and the smile of God was upon him. Now, who doesn't want a life like that? 52 years, as long as he sought the Lord. He was 16 years old. For 52 years, he reigned in Israel. And as long as he sought the Lord, God, the hand of God was upon him. And the scripture says on in another, a little further on in that chapter, he prospered marvelously and he became exceedingly strong. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I want that. Don't you? God made him, and I want you to get that. This wasn't a fluke. This wasn't something that just happened because he happened to make some right choices in life. No, no. The hand of God was upon him. The favor of God was upon him. The anointing of the Spirit was upon him. He became exceedingly strong. Anybody here want to be exceedingly strong? Anybody here that feels as though I feel kind of weak, but I'd like to be exceedingly strong? Well, here's the formula. And I know the Word of God is not a bunch of formulas, but God does give us certain instructions and directions of how to get from point A to point B. How to get from where we are to where God wants us to be is all over the Scriptures. And this is one of them. And it needs to be the foundation of our lives and the foundation of our ministries. And that is, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he became exceedingly strong. And the scripture says, and he prospered marvelously until his soul was lifted up unto vanity. So the scripture is pointing us in the direction of saying that you can have this regardless. This is not just for preachers and evangelists. This promise is for the people of God. And I trust and I believe that many of you have proven it to be true. As long as he sought the Lord. Of course, the implication here is that when he ceased seeking the Lord, the prosperity stopped. Now, it's very, very important that we explain what the scripture means when it uses the word prosperity. You know, in this, and we can't help it, we were born in the Western world, and whether we realize it or not, the materialism is the god of the world, this, at least the Western world. And so for that reason, it has to be, we have to look a little deeper in this whole idea of prosperity. What does prosperity mean? I mean, who amongst us doesn't want to prosper? It's kind of like the sign. I got a chuckle when I was in Wainwright just this week. We went into No Frills, and there was a sign up there in No Frills that said, "We want to pay more." I would like to pay more, in quotes. I'd like to pay more. Never said by anyone at any time. And so it's kind of like prosperity when I say, who amongst us wants to prosper? Of course, I'm not going to see any hands raised because everyone would like to prosper. But we must be careful to understand the biblical definition of prosperity. When the Bible talks of, when I say prosperity in our, we live in a society that God, the materialism is the god of this world, And my mind has gone blank. Not used to that. When I say the word prosper, usually the first thing that comes to our mind is money and things, correct? Well, I want you to know that the biblical definition of prosperity is it includes money and things. No doubt about that, because we all need that in order to survive and in order to be blessed of God. But we must be very careful, because prosperity is not necessarily a sign of God's blessing upon a life. It may be, but it may not be. The Bible, the psalmist says, "Why do the wicked prosper?" And we all know that the wicked do prosper, correct? Think of Hollywood. And all of the billionaires and the millionaires there, they prosper if our only idea of prosperity is money and things. But the Bible definition of prosperity, the biblical definition, it is much richer than that. It is much deeper than that. It goes further than that. I am definitely not what they call a prosperity preacher, but I believe God prospers his people. If the focus is upon God, I believe that if we favor God, then God favors us. God will favor those that favor him. And of course, we all know people in the world who are really living with nothing, living in poverty, and yet they are spiritually blessed. So the Bible definition of prosperity is primarily that God blesses every area of our lives, no doubt about that. But when the scripture speaks of prosperity, it's speaking of being primarily spiritually blessed. God is interested in us primarily being blessed spiritually first, because God is spirit. And our rich fellowship with him ought to be the greatest treasure of our lives. It ought to be the greatest thing that we possess. All these other things, they fall into place, the money, the things, the joy, the happiness. They ought to stem from our relationship with the Lord and God's hand of prosperity. When God prospers, he prospers physically. He prospers emotionally. He prospers in our marriage. He prospers mentally. He prospers in money. He prospers in houses and lands. And he prospers spiritually. And he prospers you in your joy. He prospers your joy. He prospers your peace. He prospers your children. His hand is upon you. If we don't get the cart before the horse, if we're pursuing God first and foremost and not these things. And I say that and you say, yeah, we know that, Pastor. Ah, yes, but we need to be reminded of it. We need to remind ourselves, okay, where am I in my life? Is he the priority? And I say that because I know that many times he can be removed from the number one place in our lives and something else can be put there. And I think probably if we evaluated our lives, most of us all have put something else on the throne at some time in our lives. And we've had to re-examine our lives, or the Holy Spirit has called us back into repentance. And after we have repented on that, we put him back on the throne. It's about him. It's about serving him. And God blesses that. Amen? As long as you seek the Lord, God will make you to prosper. He will make you to prosper spiritually and in every other area of your life. I remember a hearing, actually, quite a few years ago. If you remember, roughly 20 years ago or so, when there was a tremendous amount of moral failure in pulpits and TV evangelists, and it seemed like it was just rampant for a while there about 20 years ago, if you remember that. And by the way, Dave, thank God for Plan to Protect. It is a necessity in the day and age that you and I live. It's a necessary inconvenience. It's a little bit of a torment, but it needs to be done. Not everybody joyfully... I appreciate your ministry. It's all a ministry. We're all in this together. As long as he sought the Lord. Yes, this TV evangelist came on at this particular time, and I remember hearing his words, and it kind of stuck with me. He said, there are so many pastors and evangelists and board members and so on that seem to be falling. He said, I got really worried, and I went in. I said, Lord, I'm a man of like passions as there. I need to prevent this from happening for me. How do I know it's not going to happen to me? No, never say never. How do I know, Lord? And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me as I began to seek God on this matter. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, 2 Chronicles 26:5. And he said, I didn't even know what 2 Chronicles 26:5 was. So I turned to this passage of Scripture and I read these words. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Listen to me. You talk to any backslider, anyone who has fallen, and if they're truthful with you, they'll tell you that it began when they began neglecting to seek the Lord. One of the major emphases of my ministry, if you want to know what makes me tick as a pastor, is that in the book of Acts, when the apostle said, we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, I make that commitment to you. As your pastor, I will give myself to prayer and the ministry of the word. God has called me to set aside a secular work in order that I might seek him. And so most of my mornings are spent seeking the Lord. And it's not always easy to seek the Lord. It's hard work. How many know it's hard work to pray? Sometimes. Until you touch the glory. Until he touches your prayer. Sometimes it's just hard to pray. And you need to pray through. And so God has called me. It's always been the foundation of my ministry. I said it in my resume. I'll say it to the congregation. If you want to find me in the mornings, many times in the early morning and many times all morning, then you'll probably find me here in this building seeking the Lord. Ministering unto him, first and foremost, always works. We are called to minister unto him before we ever minister unto one person. And those of you that are involved in any ministry, I want you to know you are called to minister to the Lord. We are called to minister to the Lord of the temple and not the temple of the Lord, first and foremost. Let's not get the cart before the horse. What is the first and the greatest thing that you could ever possibly do? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul. That's ministry unto him first. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's be careful not to get the ministry amongst ourselves first. No, no. He deserves first place when it comes to ministry. He deserves quality time. Correct? He deserves quality time. He deserves our hearts. And so when we unfold our hearts before him in his presence and we seek his face on behalf of the congregation and we seek his face on behalf of the community around about us, what I'm saying to you is I've seen it happen in our previous pastorate and in previous pastorates, God does the work. I mean, how good is that? How good is that when the Holy Spirit actually shows up and he does the work? He changes the heart. You can't change a heart. You can only be a vessel. And so it is vital, I say, it is absolutely essential that we minister to the Lord first. And it's always successful when we minister. You gain good success as long as he sought the Lord and didn't take it lightly. God made him to prosper. Hallelujah. This lady here, what's your name? Michelle. Yeah, you like to worship the Lord, don't you? You like to give a little shout every now and then. You let it go. Now, I know that there are people who don't shout and they're kind of shy and they weep before the... I understand all that. I've been around the block. I've been around many times, but I've also been around the block and seen the hand of God, where God actually brought people to you in order for you to lead them to Christ. Hearts already prepared. Holy Spirit already did the work, which you can't do anyway. And it all comes from this root. I was going to apologize, but I won't apologize. I'm going to be a pastor who's kind of just pushing this thing and highlighting this thing of the necessity of ministering to the Lord privately. Because a man who hasn't ministered to the Lord privately is not going to experience the anointing of God on his conversations with people or on his ministry. The anointing, listen, salvation is free, but it's going to cost you to carry the anointing. and cost us effort and time and input. So let's not beat around the bush. Let's go right for the root of the issue. And the root of the issue is our hearts before God and our seeking the face of God. As long as he sought the Lord. Now I want to highlight that for a few moments. How many know that there's a big difference between seeking the Lord and praying? There's a huge difference between saying your prayers and seeking the Lord. Saying prayers is for children. Seeking the Lord is for hungry warriors who want to see God active and at work and moving in the midst of his people. Seeking the Lord. Let me explain the difference between the two. I've used this example before. I'll use it again. When I pastored quite a few years ago in Labrador, I did pastor in Churchill Falls, actually, Labrador, but also Charlottetown, Labrador, and got a few Labradorians here amongst us. Anyway, I pastored in a place called Charlottetown on the coast of Labrador. Quite a few years ago when the kids were younger. And after we left, our youngest son, who's now in the military in Germany, one of his good friends, who spent quite a bit of time at our house with his friend, our son, and his dad was our treasurer. And the year after we left Charlottetown, I got the news that the young lad, Ryan was his name, had died. And the way that Ryan had died was he and a couple of his friends went to Goose Bay to go to Kona, College of the North Atlantic, and that one weekend they decided they were going to go up to Muskrat Falls to have a little outing, and they got out in a boat with no life jacket on, and they didn't realize the strength of the current, and it took the three of the boys over the falls. And the story goes that the father of one of the boys, so they called the, downstream, we'll say, they called the search and rescue and whatever, and they went out looking for the boys, never found them, went out the next day, never found them, went out the next day, never found them. And so search and rescue, after 4 or 5 days, of course, they stopped searching. But one of those dads wouldn't stop searching. For months, every day, he sought for his boy. For months, to the search and rescue is a duty. Until prayer becomes something more than a duty, but rather a passion, we won't see the hand of God. God responds to the passionate cry, however it's expressed, but it's a passionate seeking after God. This man went down day after day. Passion and desperation driven him. Day after, every day for a month, at least a month, if not more than a month, that dad went down sometimes alone, sometimes with a friend. He would not stop. Why? Because it was love that had driven him. He was driven by love for his boy. I want to find my boy. Some of you, that's registering in your heart. If that was my boy, I'd do the same thing. That's my boy. I'm going to find my boy. Listen, God wants to get his people in the place. We were so filled with passion and hunger for God that we will not give up, but we continue to seek and continue to press in until we lay hold on God and the windows of heaven open over this church and wherever, and God himself visits us and the Holy Spirit does the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in Chauvin. And that's one reason why I believe we're here together. One reason why we're here together. As long as he sought the Lord. Driven on by love for Jesus. God made him to prosper. I want you to know it wasn't a fluke. Uzziah was made exceedingly strong and prospered magnificently. But the Bible tells us it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't some sort of a coincidence. It says God made it to happen. Don't you like that when God makes things happen for you? You kind of sit back. We just pray our way through, and I love it when it gets to the place where you just kind of sit back and you watch God do it. You know, people just getting saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. The atmosphere in the building is so charged with the manifest presence of God that when people come in through the door, they say, "Oh, something is here. Someone is here." And we've seen it happen. We want to see it happen in Chauvin. And someone says, "Well, Chauvin, I think God has forgotten about us because, listen, as I said when I came here and preached first, size and geographical location mean nothing to God. When somebody touches his heart. Matter of fact, I'll be a little transparent with you. I was sitting in this office just yesterday, and I was sitting there and praying for the church and for this Sunday and so on, and the Holy Spirit began to minister to me and give me a little bit of insight and a little bit of vision. And you know what he said? They didn't think Nazareth was anything either. You know what he said to me? You know what men said? He said, "Don't listen to men. You follow my lead." You know what he said to me? You know what men say? "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And look what I brought out of Nazareth. Jesus himself came out of Nazareth and affected the world." And you know what he said to me? "This is my church. These are my people. Men may consider them as Nazareth. But as Nazareth was of value to me, so is Chauvin of value to me. Because I've raised them up and they too are affecting the world through their missions giving." God bless you. You're affecting the world. There are areas of the world that are receiving the truth and people that are coming to Christ because you're willing to give, and God is taking that and giving it to the mission field, and so the gospel is going forth around the world. And you know what my prayer was? "Father, I pray that you would favor this church because they have favored you, because they are." I want you to know that God is pleased with you. I just felt that so much when I was praying yesterday. God is just so pleased with this group of people because they love to worship me, because they love me. And I said, "Lord, just grant that you would visit us. Show us your manifest presence. We want more of you in our presence. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to give to others. But Lord, we need you. We need you to show up. We don't just want to have church service. We want to have an encounter with God. We want to come in and say, 'God is in the house,' and somebody begins to weep or shout, and the ministry and the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. I don't know you, maybe there, maybe that's already so. But God's wanting us to lead, and God is understanding the hunger of our hearts, and I believe he's going to meet us. I'm excited about being here. I'm excited about what the future holds. I could spend a lot of time talking to you about what God has done back home. But that's all for another day. He's done so much. We've seen so many miracles. So much of the presence of God. It's been absolutely wonderful. But when the Holy Spirit turns the page, he turns the page. And we're not in the business. I feel a little bit like Philip the evangelist. The Bible says the whole city was filled with joy. They were being saved and set free and delivered. And chains were broken. And the Holy Spirit said, "Philip, get up and get out." "Well, where am I going, Lord? Things are happening." "Now get up and go out. There's one man. There's an Ethiopian eunuch, and it's not about this. This is mine. This is not yours, Philip. This is mine." And the Holy Spirit had to say that to me in our last pastor, and they're like, "This is mine. This is not yours. You're my servant. Time for you to move. I know where you're going. I've got it all picked out." And here we are. So we excitedly look forward to what God has in store for us. Amen? Amen. God bless. God made it to happen. And it's great when God makes it to happen. Makes it happen. And you see the finger of God in everything. It's just wonderful. Kind of like when we came here, kind of like the house we're living in here in Chauvin. I remember meeting with the board after I preached a call here. We said, my goodness, where are you going? I said, okay, that's fine. But, you know, I got my stuff. Where am I going to move it? I don't even have an address. Lord, it's not always easy walking by faith. Where am I going to move my stuff? I don't even have an address. Well, I don't know. I remember Darlene said, well, if the Lord is in it. You know, Darlene, that's simple faith. If the Lord is in it, that'll work out. Okay, I accept that little gentle, loving rebuke. No problem. And my wife and I sat in the house that we now live on 4815 3rd Avenue, Chauvin, Alberta. And my wife loves the little house. And we didn't even have to move any furniture. I just packed up our GMC Terrain, packed her to the roof, didn't have to haul a trailer, just our own clothing. And so we didn't have to move any furniture. The place is fully furnished right down to, you talk about the finger of God. The forks and knives are in the drawer. The towels are in the linen closet. The bedding is all laid out there. And I said to the landlord, many of you know her, many of you may not, but anyway, I said to the landlord, how good is this? Because you even got I don't even have to put up Christmas lights. All I got to do is plug them in. And she never knew. Nobody knows how much I don't like putting up Christmas lights. And that's sort of, you know, I'll give a hand. But one thing I didn't like was putting Christmas lights up outdoors. I mean, I'm not Scrooge. I like Christmas lights and a Christmas tree and so on, but I didn't like putting them up outdoors in the cold. Never did. My wife used to always hear me complain over that. I said, my love, how good is this? I don't even have to put up Christmas lights. You talk about God's finger being in everything. He looked after every detail. And we thank him for his provision in that field. Amen? So God bless, and as I said, we will be available for any time that you need us. Give us a call. As I said, I'll be ministering to the Lord and preparing to speak and studying all the rest at least 4 or 5 days a week here at the church. And in the afternoon, we'd like to do some visitation, but we don't know where you live and we don't even know who you are, so we're putting that over on your plate. Don't everybody run to us to one overwhelm us to one time, but if everybody, we need to know your address and your phone number and come to your house and have a little fellowship and prayer together, and God will bless that. Amen? I'd like to pray with you. Would you stand, please? Let's pray together. Father, we just love you. We just love to watch you work. We just love to fellowship with you. Thank you for the privilege. We confess that the greatest treasure that we possess is our fellowship with you and our relationship with you. Thank you for showing us how to do it right and help us to continue to seek your face and to minister to you first and foremost, and then to see the hand of God at work in the hearts of men and women. We pray for Chauvin. We pray for Provost. We pray for Edgerton. We pray for Wainwright. We pray for all the surrounding areas. Father, we ask that you would open the windows of heaven over this region. Nothing is impossible with you. You're the God of the impossible. And so we pray, Father, that there would be such an outpouring visitation of the Holy Spirit that men would come from all around, as they did come out to John when he baptized in the wilderness. That your work would be highly lifted up. Give us favor in this town with God and men. For your glory, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless. I'm not sure of your format afterwards. Many times home. Hey, listen, if there's anyone who really needs us, the ministry of prayer, or for us to pray with them for healing or any issue, then you come and we'll certainly pray with you. Amen.